Item 202, Citizen Noise Advisory Committee, PDX Noise Abatement and Outreach Report.
Okay, we have a team and a presentation here this morning on airport noise. Got enough chairs? Okay. Good morning. Yeah, so
good morning.
We need to get the PowerPoint queued up there.
So it shows on our screen.
I think.
I do something else to make it show.
I think she's got it. There we go. All right. Good morning. Welcome. And just push the red button. Push the button on the face of that, and it will light it up. There you go.
Thank you.
Just take it in whatever order you'd like, and just
okay.
Each of you identify yourselves as you go. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Mayor Hales and council members. I'm Phil Stenstrom, the new manager of the Port Noise Management Office. And here with me today are the Portland appointees to the PDX Citizen Noise Advisory Council. We have Mary Helen Kincaid, Laura Young, and Kelly Sweeney.
Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to provide an update on our activities. We at the Port have appreciated the council's attention and partnership on airport noise issues. PDX is an asset to the region, providing jobs, attracting businesses, and serving needs for air travel. In 2013, we had a record number of passengers, but fewer flight operations. So that's not always good news for travelers, but it's great news in terms of noise impacts. The port's mission is to enhance the region's economy and quality of life by providing access to markets. For our size, we're fortunate to have nonstop air service to both Europe and Asia. The airport's a key business enabler for the local employers such as Standard, Daimler, Precision Cast Parts, ESCO, Wieden & Kennedy, Biotronic, Knowledge Learning Center, Mentor Graphics, Greenbrier, and Stowell Reeves, among others. Airports benefit people, and they benefit the communities they serve. Clearly, the economic benefits of the port's three airports are substantial. Generating these benefits comes with costs, and aviation noise is one of them. We're here to help your community address these noise impacts, and my team is among the best in the nation. The team members each have more than 14 years in airport noise management. I also note that we and our families live in the communities as well, two of us in Oregon and two in Washington. We do a lot. The noise hotline provides an easy way for the public to reach our team with questions, and it's usually the first contact we have with citizens who are impacted by aviation noise. Our proactive work includes reviewing procedures with Federal Aviation Administration, educating air traffic controllers and pilots about noise abatement, and doing outreach at neighborhood events. Aviation is a highly regulated industry, and it has FAA and pilots as the ultimate decision makers. So their priority is always safety, and our noise program is well positioned among the stakeholders to find balanced solutions. Collaboration with the community and with industry is an important part and really a central part of how we do our work. There's a few big trends in the aviation noise world I wanted to highlight today. Airlines are more efficient. They're putting more passengers into fewer planes. Those planes are quieter than ever before, thanks to airframe design and engine technologies. And fleet modernization has replaced the older, less efficient aircraft. That all translates to less noise. On the other hand, the population is growing, and people have a strong desire to travel and to shop online, and those things drive air service demand. As a result, the national airspace system is near capacity and is in need of an overhaul. So just as the airlines use technology to gain efficiencies, the FAA has launched the biggest airspace modernization in its history. Those programs are collectively known as Next Generation or Next Gen. The best way to minimize community noise impacts is to keep aircraft away from people. For that reason, we've kept flights over the Columbia River corridor for over 30 years, and we keep the larger, noisier jets over the river for as long as possible. Precise flight operations have always been a goal of the noise program, and we worked with the FAA to get our relatively small airport into this national Next Gen initiative. One of the next-gen elements is performance-based navigation called PBN. Simply put, it keeps flights over the center of the river and away from the residential populations. PBN arrivals fly with lower power, and they make less noise by maintaining a more gliding descent into the runways. I won't treat this in any more detail today, but NextGen's a big initiative in our world. We're actively participating as it rolls out over the next decade, and I'd be happy to come back for a more detailed briefing if you'd like to know more. Flight tracking is the essential tool that we use to respond to citizen concerns and monitor overflights. We upgraded our tracking system in 2009 at a cost of $1.2 million. Our staff also monitor the science. Noise-related health effects are a growing concern globally, and our team works with the top research groups in the U.S. to stay current with these findings. Community engagement, as I said, is the most critical component of the noise program, because we believe that access to information yields the best results for the communities. Later this year, we're going to offer a Noise 101 class, and I'd be delighted if y'all could attend. We want to make it easy to engage with us, and we have many access channels for citizens to learn more. Other resources are on the Port's Noise Management webpage. One of those online resources is PDX WebTrack. You can track aircraft that are overflying the region and identify any particular flight, then submit a concern to our office, and we then follow up and respond. The red dots here show our 10 noise monitoring microphones, and the black squares are 2013 complainant locations. We received about 3,400 complaints in 2013, which was a little above the five-year average. It turns out that two-thirds of those complaints came from five individuals who each sent between 600 and 1,700 complaints. The remaining 1,100 complaints came from about 300 people, fewer than about four complaints each. This leads me to several conclusions. Most citizens never contact us. That's not our goal, as I mentioned. Some people aren't affected, or they live farther away, or they accept that aviation noise exists as part of the soundscape where they live. The vast majority of folks who do contact us get the information they need and then occasionally let us know when particular events affect them. A subset then of that group are really significantly impacted, and they let us know regularly. We engage with them to help where we can. Noise complaints correlate to air traffic patterns, and those depend on wind direction. We get more complaints when the seasons change because wind patterns shift seasonally. And most of the complaints are about jets that are too low, too loud, or too frequent. Our peak complaints typically come during the summer when people have their windows open and spend more time outdoors. That's my noise program update. We're here for your constituents and welcome your referring folks' questions and concerns to our office or to the CNAC team. In closing, I want to acknowledge that the CNAC team does the hard work and are really committed to the community. As a volunteer group, they're truly an asset to their jurisdictions, and it's really my privilege to serve with them. Kelly Sweeney and Mary Helen Kincaid and Laura Young are three of the Portland CNAC representatives appointed by the City of Portland. Mary Helen started with CNAC in 2005 with long and outstanding service as our CNAC chair. She's a community leader, an advocate, and a former airline employee. Kelly is a resident of Northeast Portland's Beaumont-Wilshire neighborhood, a 35-year Intel veteran, a CNAC member since 2007, and a longtime leader in community outreach with over 220 individual meetings so far. Laura Young has been a CNAC rep for 3 years and is currently serving as our vice chair. She is a local business owner and is active in her neighborhood association in Collie. And now I'm going to turn it over to them.
Great. Welcome. Good morning, and thanks for your service.
Well, good morning. I'm vocally challenged this morning. So I'm not going to do a lot of talking, but I'm going to introduce my colleagues. And I don't do well with PowerPoints or follow scripted speeches. So as some people know, I'm delighted that there's three people in the same chairs that were here 4 years ago when we were here and did our last report. And that wasn't really a happy experience because there were a lot of noisy things going on then. I'm glad to report that there are good things. And I think today's your lucky day because we're not here to ask for money. We're not here to tell you how to do your job. We're here to thank you for appointing us to be able to help the community, and I think that's what the whole idea is about. 6 years ago when I started, elected officials didn't know what CNAC was. They didn't know citizen noise. We've now been able to do outreach to elected officials, The staffs know that they can contact any one of us and or the noise office. Even our Speaker of the House calls CNAC the noise people. So we've made great strides in outreach, providing information, and I think that's helped the situation a great deal. I'd be remiss to say that it's you all know that good things happen when people get information, and so sometimes we have to give people information they don't want to hear. The airport's not going to move, and there's going to be noise. But these are some of the things that you can do about it. And we have an excellent resource in the noise office. We've established a really good relationship with the Port Commission. It used to be we had to give an annual report. And as Mary Olson, a prior Port Commissioner, would say, she said we'd sit there, kind of roll our eyes, and hope it was over soon. Now they look forward to us coming because we have good news. Neighbors are reporting good information. Phil alluded to the fact of we buy more, therefore there's more cargo haulers. We're all familiar with those. We went through some contentious times, but we found good solutions for the community. And Laura and Kelly are going to take it from here to kind of give you a little bit of background. Mayor Hales, I think you're the only one that probably hasn't heard the spiel, but we'll refresh the rest of you. But I personally want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of this and appointing me as a representative of the City of Portland. So thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Laura.
Thank you. As Phil said, that I am I've been a CNAC member for 3 years and just reappointed, and thank you very much for that. I look forward to serving, and we have lots of exciting things that are going on that I'd be happy to share more with you about. The origins of CNAC came from the need for the port to address community concerns over the growth of the airport, and it is the noisy crowning jewel and backbone of the region's economy, so we have a ongoing interest in sharing a good relationship with the port, being their largest neighbor. In recent years, the role of CNAC has evolved from being a committee primarily driven by citizen complaints into a highly committed group of volunteers and port staff members focused on proactive outreach and community education. This transformation is entirely due to the commitment of the port, the noise management team, and the CNAC members to provide the best possible outcomes for the surrounding neighborhoods and communities experiencing the effects of aircraft noise. A couple of examples I'd like to share with you of some of the things that we've been working on in 2013 and coming in 2014. In 2013, the CNAC committee members convened a special outreach subcommittee and work group to look at the potential opportunities for CNAC to support equity and sustainability within the context of noise outreach, with the goals of broadening outreach efforts and engaging underserved communities. Looking forward into 2014, CNAC members will continue to collaborate with the noise management team on the development and completion of a sound insulation guide. This is a free publication providing resources and simple tools for residents and communities that they can use to lessen noise impacts in a variety of ways. Some of them are from simple things like noise dampening window coverings to more complex projects like landscaping to minimize sound impacts and home weatherization projects. And from that, thank you for your time and your continued support of CNAC and the Port's noise team. And I'm going to turn it over to our salesman.
Thank you.
Mayor, council members, thanks for the opportunity to give you an update. 2013 was not a real noisy year, although we had some complaints from a minority of people. We take it as a good sign when the complaints actually don't rise in elevation in terms of the numbers. So we think we're doing our job in terms of community outreach and reaching the public and let them voice their concerns. I'll get to that in just a second. So 2013, one of the bigger things that we worked on was this, it's called the Fly Quiet Program, which is an incentive for the airlines to follow FAA guidelines to go out and over the river, either departure, so it gets it out of off the neighborhoods, and they're monitored and measured. And there's about a 92%, 95% compliance with that flight path. So, which is phenomenal in terms of the airlines agreeing to and the FAA to follow these paths to keep the noise impact as minimal as possible. So, really good work by the Port's Noise Office in negotiating those departures and arrivals, and we monitor those with the Port. Community outreach, you got to get to our constituents and let them voice their concerns. So, we had a really good year in terms of allowing citizens to voice what's going on in their particular neighborhoods. And each of us represent our own neighborhoods, that we're all within 1,000 yards of the airport tower. So we're impacted just like our neighbors. Ongoing collaboration with the Oregon Air National Guard. I can't emphasize enough how much And I had one gentleman in Woodlawn ask me, can they put mufflers on those things, please? A little difficult to do, but I understand the sentiment. The guard works overtime for us to make sure that they're as less impacting as possible. To the point, it's an open airport, and an Air Force, Marine, or Navy airplane can come into our airport anytime they want. If there's someone who doesn't follow the noise abatement rules, the fly quiet procedures that we followed up, the base commander follows up with the base commander where that plane came from to educate them, and that we do have rules that we're trying to get people to voluntarily apply as they come into Portland, so they're good neighbors. So there's been some real good work, especially with Whidbey, which is they use Portland a lot as a training navigation for instrument landings to keep themselves current. So they've been really positive in terms of following and helping the guard, helping us get those things done. We understand there's, I'm also a private pilot a long time ago, but the port worked with us to bring a commercial pilot, a captain from Alaska Airlines, in to talk to us and what's it like from his view from the pointy end of the airplane, which is real revealing for us in terms of what does he have to think about, and is he aware, and are his constituent pilots aware of the noise abatement procedures. It was very educational for us. So, again, kudos to the port for bringing those types of people in. And then we get invited. There's an annual noise symposium that's sponsored by University of California that the port takes one or two members of the committee. So we get educated on noise items as well. So that was 13. Looking ahead, we're going to be out in your neighborhoods. So we're here to listen. That's the biggest thing. We want to listen more than talk. We do our part to educate and try to tell people why the F-15s fly where they fly and why they fly when they fly, or why this thing called RNAV or these new approaches that the FAA is bringing in from a safety standpoint, why the planes are going to fly where they fly. So we try to educate the public. But the biggest thing for me personally is we have to listen and bring those complaints, those issues back to the noise office. My job is to get those guys, the experts, out into the communities. Let me conclude by asking you, if you do hear complaints or compliments, please pass them along, you know, to Phil in his office or to Mary Helen and the rest of us on the committee. We're here to help you. Thank you.
I want to add one thing that I forgot, so I should have had notes. Kelly was invited 2 years ago, 3 years, 2 years ago to be on this National Noise Symposium that's put on by UC Davis because of his work in outreach and because of the collaboration that we'd established with the port. It's unheralded in the United States. They were on a panel of how do you make outreach work in a community, and they were invited to be the panelists for that. Jason Schwartz, the former noise manager, and Kelly were on that panel. And the other piece that I wanted to mention that's new and I think we'll be looking at is working with the city noise office. Paul Van Orden's now in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and he and I have been talking for 7 years about a noise mapping project. Where is the noise? And the ports agreed to work with us on the airport noise kind of issue, but there's lots of other noise. And I know he's eager to get that initiative started. So I think that'll be a really good thing so people can see where the noise is, where trains and PIR and all of those things, to put it all together in a big picture item. So we'll be excited to work with them on that too.
Great. Well, I have a couple questions, or maybe others on the council as well, but you talked about that. I mean, the F-15s are clearly the loudest plane that takes off and lands. You are getting cooperation from the Air Guard in terms of how, you know, what angle they take off and when they switch on their afterburners, and those technical questions make a big difference in how loud those planes are. So,
unparalleled support.
Okay, good, because, yeah, that's... maybe people enjoy the spectacle of them taking off, but they are very loud.
I think they're one of only two. Jerry, where did Jerry go?
Lisa.
Aren't they one of only two airports that have a limitation on their flights, or self-imposed?
Self-imposed.
Yeah, they have a self-imposed limitation, flying 9 to 5 weekdays, not on the weekends, and they prescribe that to the... But like Kelly alluded to, it doesn't mean that somebody from... Southern California base doesn't fly up here and then do afterburners and takes off. They hear about it, but they can't control them not doing it. So.
Yeah. And then my other question was, it looked from your map like a lot of the complaints come when you use the northeast-southwest runway Are things changing in terms of how often you use that runway? Because those flights do go right over northeast neighborhoods as opposed to paralleling them along the river. So are you using that runway more or less given changes in rules or technology or anything else?
So I think the answer to that question is my microphone on?
Your microphone is on, yeah. It just takes a moment.
Oh, I see.
There you
okay.
go. It has a long warm-up period.
Yeah, a good question and one we hear a lot in the community. And I think the answer is the usage patterns for that runway, we call it Runway 3 or Runway 21, haven't changed. We don't have any runway closures scheduled for this year, which is what pushed a lot of traffic onto that runway in prior years. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that we do here is, you know, those box carriers or the sort of delivery service airplanes are the ones that most frequently use that because of their smaller size. And so because they fly slower than the larger jet aircraft, in order to keep the jets over the river, we have to move the cargo haulers kind of out of the way. And so they're turning out over neighborhoods, and they have flight paths that are typically going all over the state and all over Washington in all directions. So they have a more dispersion, I would say, than the larger jets that are in more concentrated flight paths.
Okay. Other questions?
Mary Helen, I have a question for you. I live in the Grant Park neighborhood, and so we get some planes that fly over us at night. But probably the biggest source of complaints for noise in my neighborhood are helicopters. And that's particularly true when there's a police event, a fire, or something else, and you get the local TV stations run helicopters in, and they're extremely loud. And I guess I had two questions. One is, does your jurisdiction extend to helicopters?
Good question.
Jerry has the technical. Jerry Gersbach is the one that answers 99% of all the technical. He can explain it better than I. But we do get that because of circling things.
In the noise office, we'll take aircraft noise complaints from anyone. As far as our power to change that process, there's a collaboration negotiation pattern that would happen with the, for instance, the media helicopters. But we have no jurisdiction over how they fly.
Your name is?
Jerry. I'm sorry. My name is Jerry Gersbach. I'm with the Noise Management Office.
And Mr. Gersbach, do you know who has jurisdiction over helicopters?
It would be the news businesses themselves, the media businesses.
In terms of regulatory jurisdiction?
I mean, who regulates
that?
FAA.
That's all FAA.
The FAA. They communicate with them where they can fly. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they communicate with them where they can fly. But the way I've understood it over the years, it's pretty much we need to cover this news event or we're police surveillance, and it's sort of a hands-off for anybody on the ground. I
mean, so the FAA tower is giving them parameters about where they can fly because they're doing air traffic control for the whole region? Or
media folks would talk with the control tower, and they'd say, we're going to be in this area for this amount of time at this altitude. And the air traffic controllers would just keep the other planes away from them.
They asked for permission. They asked the FAA for permission to fly over Grant Park for a football event. The Friday night flights thing, for example, would be my guess. So they asked the FAA for the permission to loiter there. And
loiter is a good word.
Their altitude and the length of time of there is dictated by the guys in the tower. So they try to monitor, not let the traffic patterns get in the way.
Maybe just to park this issue for a future conversation, but I think you'll find in some of the residential areas, the helicopters, when you get a number of those stations covering an event and hanging out for a while, it does begin to feel like you're under occupation. I mean, they're very loud. They're hovering over your house. And you're doing great work addressing all the other noise. This is a significant source of noise, and it comes at very odd times. I mean, it's episodic.
I noticed Phil wrote it down. And it had no pens. But it might be one that we can explore, with the new. It might be an awareness thing. When we dealt with the cargo hauler issue, they had no clue that they were irritating people on the ground, but they wanted to be a good community member and all of those kinds of things. So I think that's a really good
topic.
Just to add a little to that, I live 3,000 feet from the west end of the South Runway. So when those helicopters are circling Grant, and somebody else gets a turn, they come circle over Hayden Island, Bridgeton, and East Columbia. So we're sort of the holding pattern for those things.
Well, just food for thought.
Excellent point.
Very good point.
And the second question is for Mr. Stenstrom. Just curious, you say that about 55, 56,000 jobs are connected to aviation, the economic impact of aviation. Could you just give us a flavor about how you calculate that? Because that sounds like a big number and something we should be aware of as legislators.
So the answer to that is I don't know how they calculate it because I'm the noise guy, and so I ask the aviation ops folks and the public affairs folks, what's the number?
Maybe just to make a follow-up request.
Lisa's right behind you.
I'd be interested in knowing what are those direct and indirect jobs, and I think the council might be interested in knowing more about that.
Now or later.
I was interested to learn that at Orang, just at the air base alone, at the Air and Army base, there's like 1,000 related jobs for kitchen maintenance, delivery, and they're not all military jobs. There's a lot of civilian jobs, so that was kind of an eye-opener to me.
And, you know, we'd like to relocate the post office, the airport, put some more good jobs on that footprint at some point. So. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Good. Other questions?
I just have a comment. I do remember the last report that was given, and it was not nearly as happy as this. And so giving credit where due, I appreciate Commissioner Leonard for having appointed each of you and then each one of you for your service. And Kelly, you mentioned about the outreach. I think I first met you at an East Portland meeting, which is quite some way from Beaumont-Wilshire. Cully and East Columbia have also been extremely active and in partnering on this, and it's a good example of neighbors and jurisdictions working together to find collaborative solutions. So thank you very much for your service.
Other questions, comments? Thank you all very much. We do appreciate the work you're doing and the way you're doing it, and it seems like it's paying dividends. Thank you very much. Thanks for the report.
Thank you.
Anyone signed up to testify on this item?
Yes, we have four people signed up. The first three, please, coming up are Joe Walsh, Steve Entwistle, Dick Weed.
Come on up.
I think Mr. Weed left. Let's go with Shedrick Wilkins then. Thank you. Mr. Wilkins, come on up. Mr. Wilkins.
Yep, come on up. Okay, Joe, you're on first.
I'm first?
I think you are. Go ahead.
Sure. My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. I would also like to congratulate the volunteers. It's very hard to criticize reports coming from volunteers because they give their time. I would just point out that this report seems to me to be very heavily directed towards the airports and flights, and that's a good thing. We don't want airplanes flying over our bedrooms at 3 o'clock in the morning, or helicopters, as Commissioner Fish pointed out. However, there are other problems that we have in the city, and one of them is the entertainment centers on the west side and the east side, when it gets to be about 2 o'clock in the morning and people are having a good time, but loud. There's nothing in this report that even refers to that. I would really like to see something about how we balance the complaints that we hear about people can't sleep at night. So that's a problem. If you live near a bar, and I grew up over a bar, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it can get really noisy. The other thing that I would like to point out is that this seems to be a committee. Now, according to the newspapers, Mayor, you closed down the committee on noise on the west side. Your office had declared meeting of the advisory committee closed to the public and the media. I don't know if you have the authority to do that.
I'm not sure what meeting you're talking about, so I'm sorry.
Well, okay. It's in the Examiner, and apparently they're appealing it. So it seems to be something that you should be concerned about. Because, again, I don't think you have the authority to do that. I think all the meetings have to be open to the public. That's part of I think, state statute. So, I mean, if you don't know anything about it, I would check with your staff because they're quoted in here.
Yeah, I will.
Mr. Walsh, just so you know, there's a different body called the Noise Review Board that looks at other kinds of noise. The Citizen Advisory Committee is specific.
Yeah, there seems to be a crossover in both committees because both of them are dealing with noise. So our concern is that all committees be open to the public. Obviously, we don't attend all committees, but we would like to have that option. And that's the sunshine laws, and it's also good for you because you really have to work on your transparency that I've said a number of times is not doing so well with a D minus. So I would just check ask you it. To check with your staff and find out what the newspaper is talking about. They may be wrong.
It has happened, but we'll yes. check. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome. Good
morning. I'm Steve Entwistle. I live in downtown Portland. I live in public housing that happens to be affected by a chronic noise problem from bars that are badly zoned and located right next to an old building that doesn't have the protection as new buildings have for noise. And I don't think that's being taken into consideration very seriously. I lost my friend, Don Estep, to noise, okay? And it's just amazing that Dan Saltzman happens to be the housing director now. And Don actually has a very uncanny resemblance to you, okay? But he's dead, okay? He was my friend. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he was a good guy once you got to know him. But his death was due to noise. And I filed a wrongful death suit against the city because the city has dropped the ball when it comes to noise and noise control, okay, for this city. Okay, and now they want to expand the entertainment district. The entertainment district is designed to help the police deal with problems. That's what it's all about, okay? But the police are ineffective at best with noise. I called the non-emergency number last night. Okay. I call it regularly, all the time. Okay. I even had a police officer, sergeant, come up to my room unannounced, banged on my door around midnight. Yeah. He wanted to come in my room, and I don't know what he wanted to do, but I didn't let him in, okay? He was outside, and we talked. He demanded, he goes, don't call the non-emergency number again. Demanded me in the hallway. It's on video. And I looked at him, and I said, nonsense. And then he goes, don't call the non-emergency number again. He said it twice. I took a step forward, and I looked him in the eyes, and I said, nonsense again. This is our lives, okay? You're ignoring them. You're ignoring our health. These bars are wrongly located too close to public housing, and you know it. But you get away with it because you like the money. They do produce a lot of money, I must admit. But you're going about it all the wrong way. This is unsustainable, and this is wrong for our public. And I would like to see change. I'm going to do an outreach, and I'm going to get as many people as I can that are affected by noise to get their voices heard. Thank you.
You might want to, and we'll make sure you have the contact info, you might want to talk to the city's noise control staff, because those are the...
I have talked to the noise control staff for over 5 years, okay. And I've gotten nowhere with them. They are absolutely ineffective, okay? They are more part of the bar situation. They're more the Portland Business Alliance. Mike Boyer, totally ineffective. He wants me down. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Morning. I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I hate jet transportation. I flew when I in 1983 when I was in the Army. Jets and helicopters waste energy. That's why they make so much noise. The only efficient airplane is one with wings and a prop on it. Remember the 1979 McBride thing where he ran out of gas? If there had been people in those houses, he would have killed 100 people in 1979 and in southeast Portland. They fall like a rock. Helicopters fall like a rock. Prop planes can glide. The noise is caused by the inefficient engine in it. I want to make a comment is I have a flu bug because somebody from Intel or Nike flew to China, came back here and gave it to me. Ships actually have more, are highly efficient, are more used for bringing goods to this city. I mean, do it by weight. It's just about speed. Jet planes are also very dangerous if you fly them because of terror activity. Cargo jets bring in drugs, cocaine, marijuana, bombs, chemicals, because people just say they don't have it in their stuff. They do it all the time. So dangerous materials are brought here. I worked at the airport 3 times 20 years ago. They're the worst jobs I ever had, just because, security reasons. It's not a comfortable place to work. You won't see that at the train station. So also, too, jets cause global warming. They waste energy. And like I say, ships can do just the same thing. You're just not going that fast. And I blame Intel employees and Nike employees for giving me this flu. And I'm glad I'm a veteran so I can go up and get that. I feel kind of woozy. It's going around. The flu's going around. But those things come from jet transportation. People fly to China and they come back here and they give it to me. When I worked at the airport as a janitor, we suited up like astronauts. So we wouldn't touch anything. Okay? And once it spread, and this was in the Oregonian, a lot of flus emanate from the airport. So, and also in 50 years, people probably won't be flying. As oil goes up, as it did in 2005, people will not fly. It'll be too expensive. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
We have lightning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I just wanted to have a brief discussion on, you know, the commercial planes really aren't the issue over the airport. They're actually relatively quiet. You really don't hear those. What the big issue is over the airport is the F-14s, the F-17s. Now, those planes are loud. And what you run into is that when they tend to take off from the airport, they'll go up over, like you say, the river, up over Marine Drive. But they'll tend to just go straight up in the air all of a sudden. And when a jet does that, it will literally, if you're in a car underneath those, you will feel the ceiling of your car literally begin to be pushed down. That's how much power that these jets have. And when they do it, they don't just do it once or twice. They do it quite a bit. And it sounded to me like you don't have a whole lot of control on that. And what we have to also consider is that when you're talking the flight plan going along the river, say Columbia River, you have a tremendous amount of people that are on that river. Boaters, you have people in floating homes, you have a lot of people that have houses up along Marine Drive, and they hear that noise. And it's a big concern. I don't think it's really been addressed over the years. And in my opinion, and I hate to say this, I don't think the port should have ever allowed anybody to build properties on Marine Drive on the water, because you can't control that noise level on these type of planes. And I would like to look at some of the tests that you do in certain areas and to kind of look at the data to substantiate that, especially when you're talking these F-14, F-17s, I'd love to see that data near the airport to get an idea exactly how loud those currently are, because it's definitely not within the safety of people being underneath that location. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. That's it. So we will need a motion to adopt
this
report.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion, questions? Okay. Roll call on the report, please.
Fritz?
Well, thank you very much to the port for your partnership on this and to the citizens who put in so much time on this really important committee that, in fact, is doing good work and reducing the noise. Mr. Wilkins' comments reminded me about how we're all different. My older son had a job at the airport while he was in college cleaning planes, and I remember him coming home one winter evening saying, I got to be outside, I got to be on the planes, I got to breathe the jet fuel. Why wouldn't anybody want to have this job? He was so enthusiastic about it, and it really was an excellent experience for him, so we are all different. And I really appreciate the collaboration on this important work. Aye.
Fish.
You know, I too remember the hearing 4 years ago, and what a sea change. And I'm so proud of the citizens that we were able to appoint to this body and the good work that you've done. Mary Helen, you wear so many hats. I don't know how you do it, but I did learn something today. I did not know that you once worked in the airline business.
And be in L.A. on the tarmac that was before TSA.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you all for your service. I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz said. We greatly appreciate the partnership with the port. This is the only airport that I've ever lived near where my family actually gets on the MAX and goes to the airport to have dinner because it has all my son's favorite restaurants, and they charge the same amount at the restaurant that they do downtown, which in most other cities you can't say that. So thank you for your service, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is a very impressive report, and I want to thank Ms. Kincaid, Ms. Young, Mr. Sweeney for your service on this committee. You know, when I first ran for city council back in 1998, airport noise was a big issue in a lot of neighborhoods I was canvassing in, and that led me when I was assigned the Office of Neighborhood Involvement because of the then frustration with the port and the Citizen Noise Advisory Committee, the port-appointed committee, led me to create the Airport Issues Roundtable because people felt they weren't getting a voice. And that group existed for a number of years, provided us with counsel on this. But I'm just so impressed because it seems like everybody is really on the same page today. And it's really good to see that the port is being very responsive, the airlines are being very responsive, and the Air National Guard base, it sounds like it's being really responsive. So I'm just super impressed with what's going on today and the level of taking people's complaints and actually getting answers and hopefully results, too. I mean, that was part of the frustration that led to the creation of a separate body back in 2000. So great job to everybody. I'm really, really, really impressed. Aye.
Hales.
Well, Commissioner Saltzman, I remember when you formed that Airport Issues Roundtable, and yeah, those were pretty acute problems in those neighborhoods then. And the fact that the issue is, bad pun, a lot quieter now here at the city indicates the work that you've been doing is really making sure that people are heard, making sure that there is constructive guidance to the airlines and to the airport, and even to the federal government, which doesn't have to follow our suggestions or much less our mandates. So I think this is working very well, and I do appreciate the volunteers involved and also the fact that the port is systematically working with us and reporting on these. You know, everybody should have the right to the peaceful enjoyment of their neighborhood, and it's difficult to always achieve that. And when you have airplanes and news helicopters and everyone else flying around, you know, there's potential for significant reduction in the quality of life, whether it's waking somebody up who wants to sleep or just, you know, making it hard to enjoy the outdoors in the summertime in certain parts of the city. So this really does matter, and we appreciate your good work. Portland Airport keeps winning awards for being a great airport experience for travelers. One of the reasons for that is it's quiet inside, and that's nice and enjoyable, but this maybe isn't an award criterion for those that make these awards, but for those of us that live here in Portland, much appreciated. Thank you for good work. Aye.